What did Hestimard actually do when he was pursuing this avocation? I asked Leo. Was he reading books? Trying to solve the Teglon, lighting candles and reciting spells?
Mostly reading books. Very old ones, Leo said. Very old ones that had been left behind by others who in their day had likewise been under suspicion of belonging to the lineage.
Seems interesting, but harmless, I said.
Also, people noticed that he was unduly interested in the millenarians. During aughts, he would take notes while the thousanders sang.
How can anyone really follow the meaning of those chants without taking notes?
And he went into the upper labyrinth a lot.
Well, I admitted, that's a bit odd. Is it a part of the myth surrounding the lineage that its members violate the discipline? Communicate across the boundaries of their maths? Yes, Kriskin said. It fits in with the whole conspiracy theory aspect. The slur on the Adharians in general is that they consider their work to be more profound, more important than anyone else's, that the pursuit of the truths in the Hylian theoric world takes precedence over the discipline. So if their pursuit of the truth requires that they communicate with avowed and other maths, or with extras, they have no compunctions about doing so. This was sounding more and more ridiculous by the moment, and I was beginning to think it was one of those nutty hundreder fads. But I said nothing because I was thinking about Orlo talking to Saman in the vineyard and making illicit observations.
Leo snorted. Extras? What kind of extras would care about a mystical 6,000-year-old theorics problem?
The kind we've been hanging around with the last 2 days, Kriskin said. We had come to a complete stop. I stepped forward up the road. Well, if everything you're saying is true,
we're not doing ourselves any favors by being out here.
Kriskin took my meaning right away, but Leo looked puzzled. I went on.
Sant Tredegar is filling up with avowed from all over the world. The hierarchs must be keeping track of who has arrived, from which consent. And we, a group of mostly Adharians from, of all things, the consent of Sant Edhar, are going to be late.
Because we've been bending the rules, wandering among the Deolaters, Leo said,
beginning to get it.
Looking for a couple of wayward fraas who exactly fit the stereotype that Kriskin's been talking about.
Leo and I were at the summit a few minutes later. We had left Kriskin huffing and puffing in our wake. All of the weird talk had made us nervous, and we had practically run the rest of the way, not out of any practical need to hurry, simply to burn off energy. The top of Bly's Butte looked as if it might have been a lovely place back in the days of Sant Bly. It existed because there was a lens of hard rock that had resisted erosion and protected the softer stuff beneath it, while everything for miles around had slowly washed down. There was enough room on top to construct a large house, say the size of the one where Jessery's family lived. A lot of different structures had been crammed onto it over the millennia. The bottom strata were masonry, stones or bricks mortared directly onto the butte's hard summit. Later generations had poured synthetic stone directly atop those foundations to make small blockhouses, guard shacks, pillboxes, equipment enclosures, and foundations for aerials, dishes, and towers. These, then, had been modified, connections between them built, worn out, demolished, or rusted away, replaced or buried under new work. The stone, synthetic and natural, was stained a deep ochre by the rust of all the metal structures that had been here at one time or another. For such a small area, it was quite complicated. The sort of place children could have explored for hours. Leo and I were not so far out from being children that we couldn't be tempted, but we had plenty else on our minds, so we looked for signs of habitation. The most conspicuous of these was a reflecting telescope that stood on a high plinth that had once supported an aerial tower. We went there first. The telescope looked in some ways like an art project that Cord or one of her friends might have made in a welding shop from scraps of steel. But looking into it, we could see a hand-ground mirror, well over 12 inches in diameter, that looked perfect. And it was easy to figure out that it had a polar axis drive, cobbled together from motors, gearboxes, and bearings, scavenged from who knows where.
From there, it was easy to follow a trail of evidence across the platform and down an external stairway to a lower platform on the southeast exposure of the complex. This had been kitted out with a grill for cooking meat, weatherproof poly chairs and table, and a big umbrella. Children's toys were stored with unchildlike neatness in a poly box, as if kids came up here sometimes, but not every day. A door led off this patio into a warren of small rooms, little more than equipment closets, that had been turned into a home. Whoever was living in this place, it wasn't Orlo. Judging from phototypes on the walls, it was an older man with a somewhat younger wife and at least two generations of offspring. Icons were almost as numerous as snapshots, and so this was obviously a Deolator family. We gathered these impressions over the course of a few seconds before we realized we were trespassing on someone's home. Then we felt stupid because this was such a typical avowed mistake. We backed out so fast, we almost knocked each other down. The patio was a smooth slab of synthetic stone. Given that Estimard was such a zealous tiler, it seemed odd that he had not improved it. But now we noticed a stair that led up to a ledge where he had fashioned a kiln out of burnt bricks. Around it was strewn the detritus of many years' work. Clay, molds, pots of glaze, and thousands of tiles and tile shards in the same repertoire of simple geometric shapes as those that decorated the new laundry at Edhar. Estimard hadn't got round to tiling his patio yet because he hadn't found the perfect configuration of tiles. He hadn't solved the Teglon.
"Clinically insane?" I asked Leo. "Or just well on his way?"